This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready for some football talk, Keith?
I am ready for some football talk, Jones.
It's been a light football week around here. Jim Montgomery getting fired. Which, I forget, who broke that news? I'm trying to remember who broke
I don't know.
That news.
Depends good, on who you ask.
Good reporting chops. Yep, that's true. Right. It does depend yep. on who you ask. That's a fair point. You know, some Celtics conversation throughout the course
Cavs.
Of the week.
That was a big game.
So we're going to focus in on the Patriots today. Won't be all Patriots. We will get to the Bruins following up on Jim Montgomery. His ouster. How does the team respond tonight? They get the Utah Hockey Club. What'd you want it to be called again?
The Yeti.
The Yeti.
Yeah, the Utah Yeti.
We
got the Yeti tonight.
Bruins
Yeti.
The Hockey Club just isn't as cool as the club. Utah Yeti.
Could be worse, I guess, but I don't love it. Hockey Club. I didn't really love the Football Club. I don't like Commanders either, but I didn't like
it. Yeah, see, I like Washington Football Team.
Official Football Team, I mean. Yeah.
Commanders stink.
Yeti, like Blizzard. They had some good ones out there.
They're like,
Hockey Club. And then their uniforms are very generic.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like
create a uniform in Madden.
Madden, like what they show up with, and you're like, I'm not going to tweak it much. I'm just going to leave it as is. Right, Hockey Club,
speaking
and move
of,
on.
Speaking of Blizzard, are we supposed to get snow next week? Did I hear that from Curtis this morning?
Yeah, the meteorologist, I think, said some snow.
Ay, ay, ay.
Right, maybe a white Thanksgiving?
I'm not driving far. I don't know about you. I'm not driving far. So
no, we might be.
But okay. Yeah. Well, we will get to a variety of things. Bruins coming up on the show. Red Sox, ooh, they're going to spend. Do you believe them this time? Sam Kennedy has come out and said they're going to spend. We'll also talk to the Razor, Andrew Raycroft, today on Jones and Keefe. A lot of ways you can interact at 617-779-7937. You can text the show at 37937. Follow along on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy conversation going on there. And on YouTube, watch along by subscribing to WEEI. Let's start with Pats and Dolphins here today, Keith.
Yes.
We do this periodically. Would you rather be the Patriots or their opponent? I know it's not a Would You Rather Wednesday.
This is confusing.
However, would you rather be the Patriots or the Dolphins? Take that how you want. Big picture, you know, 3, 5, 10 years down the line, however you want to look at that. Would you rather be the Patriots or the Dolphins? Who's in a better spot?
You know, once again with these questions, it comes back to Drake May. We're both very high on Drake May. Some have even suggested we are cheerleaders for Drake May. But if you have the quarterback, that solves so many things. Not a lot of teams have the quarterback. I think Miami, you know, depending on who you talk to there, they might think they have the quarterback. Others don't. Others say you do, but it's only a matter of time because of, unfortunately for him, all the different concussions and horrible concussions that Tua has gotten. So if you had asked me this a couple of months ago, I would have said this is a no-brainer. you know, give me, no pun intended on the Tua thing, but like, I liked Mike McDaniel, back-to-back playoff trips. Obviously, their wide receivers are significantly better than the wide receivers here. They had spent money on defense. It seemed like, all right, this is a team you wanted to kind of emulate. You know, 9 wins for Mike McDaniel in his first year, 11 wins in his second year, and now they're going to compete, right? No, they've kind of gone the other way. Part of that, obviously, is Tua being hurt. So I go back to, I still don't trust Jerod Mayo, but Mike McDaniel's kind of stock is falling. So if it's Drake May versus Tua, which is a lot of what the conversation is going to come down to, definitely put me in the Drake May camp. And despite the Patriots being 3-8, right? Like, I don't want to make it sound like the Patriots are great, but going forward, I would rather be the New England Patriots than the Miami Dolphins.
I'm the same way. Yeah. And I think I like Tua, I would say, more than your average fan.
More than me.
I like him more than you. Exactly. Yeah. I think McDaniel, and I've been saying this for a while, I think he got exposed when Tua was out. I think a lot of people look at it and go, McDaniel fixed Tua. I never thought Tua was that bad before McDaniel got there. He wasn't as good. I acknowledge that. McDaniel helped get more out of him. But I never thought Tua was like a garbage quarterback before McDaniel got there. He won a bunch of games. And the offense cratered without Tua this year. And by the way, it still hasn't been that great since he came back. They're not throwing the ball downfield. They're not getting Jaylen Waddle involved. And so I don't hate Tua. But he's not as good as Drake May, or at least let me rephrase. The ceiling isn't as high as Drake May. Like right now, Tua might be a better quarterback week to week, more consistent quarterback.
Yeah.
It's not like they're winning a ton of games. It's not like the stats are incredible, but he's done it before.
But Dolphins could trade straight up, they would do it in a second.
Well, especially with Tua's contract.
And the contract, that's
so
the thing, yeah.
So this is something that Curran brought up early in the week, and I kind of brushed it aside when I first heard it, but you know, Tua is one of those top five highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, none of them are winning. None of them are their teams aren't playing well.
The Packers have a winning record, but Jordan Love's not playing great.
And so, like, even Burrow is in that mix, and it's been terrible. You know, with Dak and some of these other guys. So I don't think Curran's saying you can't pay a top-flight quarterback. I don't think that's what he's saying. What he's saying is you got to get it right on that guy if you're going to pay them that kind of money. And you have to maximize Drake May prior to that. And that's what he's talking about. He was talking about kicking tires on Alex Van Pelt and looking around and seeing, do they have the best fit with Drake May? And so you have to maximize this window before you have to pay Drake May, because that's going to be a big call on all these quarterbacks. It is. Do you want to pay them like a top five QB? Are they a top five QB? Are you going to overpay them? Are they worth it? I'm with you. I would rather have Drake May than Tua, and I think the Dolphins would make that move straight up. Especially considering the contract.
Yeah, I think even if you're high on Tua, like to your point, like if you like Tua and you're like, well, when he's out there, this guy is winning a lot of games and he's, you know, got a good touchdown interception ratio and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, but I think you'll take the 22-year-old Drake May and what he has shown in his, you know, 6 career starts or whatever it is. So, yeah, I think you're taking Drake May. Now, there's still plenty of other spots you need to clean up. Like, this isn't, oh, the Patriots are in like this great spot. It's like, no. They found the hardest thing to find in the NFL, but like, what's their next best strength? I don't know. They got one good corner. Like, okay, great. Like, they don't have much else. Whereas if you're Miami, you're saying, all right, we do have a top half of the league quarterback right now. We have 2 elite wide receivers. I know one of them, they don't even really use much. And so I don't know what's going on with Jaylen Waddle, but they have 2 elite.
He's not as good as Jonnu Smith. We all know from watching Jonnu Smith.
You've got to get the ball to Jonnu Smith.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Get the ball to Jonnu Smith. Yeah, but like their defense, Miami's, is kind of middle of the pack, whereas their offense has been what has let them down. And it's when Tua hasn't played, even when Tua has played, they're not exactly lighting up the scoreboard.
No.
And then when he wasn't there, I mean, we saw one of those games. What was that, week 5 or whatever it was? I mean, that was atrocious. So you got Mike McDaniel over there, and you know, they're down to like their 4th quarterback. Like that, I don't know how many guys can get Snoop Huntley to light up the scoreboard, or Skylar Thompson, or Tim Boyle.
But if you're supposed to be,
yeah, maybe more
an offensive guru and a mastermind,
uh-huh,
you need to get more out of these middling quarterbacks. And not like McVay didn't, you know, his offense suffered when Stafford got hurt. Was that last year? 2 years ago? 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Stafford got hurt. They brought in Baker Mayfield at the end of the year.
Turned
like,
Baker Mayfield's career around.
He fell off. And so it's not like it's always going to be perfect, but I do feel like Andy Reid, high-level comp, but Andy Reid would get something out of other quarterbacks when they plugged in. I'm not just talking about Alex Smith. I'm talking about when Mahomes got hurt a few years ago. You know, he fractured his kneecap or whatever it was.
Yeah.
they were able to plug in whoever their backup was, win games, and
they had a four-game stretch, which included the Patriots win, or the win over the Patriots, I guess, if you're the Dolphins, where Tua goes down, they scored 3 points against Seattle, 12 against Tennessee, 15 in the win against the Patriots, and then 10 in a loss to the Colts.
So to me, with all the talent they have there, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Achane with the offense, they have some players on defense as well. Even with all that talent, it sounds too Tua-dependent, and I know a lot of Patriots fans don't like Tua, which blows my mind because he's never lost to them. While Bill was here, Tua doesn't lose to the Patriots. I don't get how Patriots fans don't at least respect
undefeated,
that
right?
He always beats them.
Yeah.
I don't get that. And so you guys don't even like Tua. It sounds way too Tua dependent in Miami. I would rather be the Patriots than the Dolphins. Now look, and that's almost purely about Drake May. I would rather have Mike McDaniel than Jerod Mayo, but I will tell you, McDaniel has been maybe not as good as you would think. He was 9-8 his first year.
Mm-hmm.
He got to the postseason and lost. Last year they were 11-6, got to the postseason, lost. Their teams taper off in December in the cold weather. That offense isn't as successful outdoors and in the cold weather. Never mind this year with all the rules changes and all the pre-snap motion, how the league tried to tighten that up and put an emphasis on that. The offense looks much, much, much more pedestrian this year than it has in years past. They're 4-6 right now, and they look terrible when Tua wasn't out there.
Yeah.
I would take McDaniel over Jerod Mayo. I'd take most coaches in the NFL over Jerod Mayo. But I don't know that McDaniel is a great or even good head coach.
How safe is he, you think, in Miami?
We're
talking about all these different openings.
Let me tell you.
Bill. Yeah.
I didn't realize this. I listened to a lot of his press conference, which
McDaniel?
I can't possibly have that time back.
I like McDaniel.
I did. No,
I like
go
he
ahead,
seems
go
like a
ahead,
character.
Go ahead and listen to 22
no.
minutes of him like I did yesterday.
No, that seems like too much.
There was a
it shocked me when I opened it and saw 22
there
minutes.
There was a comment going around yesterday. McDaniel said something nice about Drake May. We're gonna play it coming
up. Yeah.
So I listened to the whole freaking press conference trying to find it.
I was gonna say I heard that one spot. I didn't listen to the whole thing.
So there was one thing he said in there that I wasn't really aware of, and then I read the item. I didn't know why they were peppering so much, meaning the Miami media. And I read an item on Pro Football Talk today. He's coming under fire for benching all these veterans. So Raheem Mostert is now third on the depth chart and
Jim
barely
Montgomery.
Playing. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
David Long is a defensive, he's a linebacker, rather,
yeah.
who they released. And he started to demote some of these veterans, and he's coming under fire for that, and he's getting questioned by it, and it sounds like the locker room is a little out on Mike
teetering?
McDaniel.
Are they teetering?
Maybe.
Okay.
That's exactly what I thought of, Keith. And maybe it's just because we had the Monty discussion the last couple of days, or we've been having it now for a few weeks. The warning signs may be there with Mike McDaniel. Like, his locker room might be turning on him.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, he had two good years to start, so you wonder what kind of a runway he gets, you know, like... If they miss the playoffs this year, and they're obviously trending like they are, but I wouldn't say they're out of it. You know, when you look at the teams, like we talk about the Bengals, like are they still in it? You know, you're chasing a team like the Broncos, so I think they have a chance still at the playoffs, especially if they can win this Sunday. They're 5-6.
Cincinnati or Miami, who's more likely to get it?
Cincinnati. You know me, I like Cincinnati.
You do like
Cincinnati.
But
they're both frisky. If you look at our tiers, they're both a frisky bunch.
They are both frisky. They're both behind Indianapolis, and then Denver has a 7 spot. Miami's a half game up on Cincinnati. Dolphins are 4-6.
No, but they're a big
Bengals
letdown.
Are 4-7.
They're one of the big letdown teams of the year because going into the season, the AFC East, I thought was going to be just a murderer's row. I thought the Patriots were going to be in a lot of trouble, in part because it was going to be 6 really difficult division games, and the only one that's lived up to it is Buffalo. The Jets have obviously been a joke.
Yeah.
I was higher on them than you, but Miami was a team that I forget if I had them in the playoffs or just outside, but like that was a team.
Let me take a look. Let me take a look at our show, Doc Keefe. I'll get you.
I don't remember if I thought Miami would be in there, but even if I had them out.
Wild card teams. Dolphins, yeah. Ravens, Ravens and Chargers. Good. Dolphins.
I had Dolphins.
I likewise had Miami. Yes.
So there you go. So I was going to say most people I would have assumed had Miami in there.
You had the Jets winning the AFC.
I thought they were going to be good this year.
I had Buffalo.
All right, it hasn't happened yet. Let's not throw a parade for ourselves.
I also had the Browns in the playoffs, so.
Well, it's not going to happen either. I mean, you got to take some big swings every once in a while.
That's true.
You know? No, but my point is, like, back-to-back playoff appearances for the Dolphins. Obviously, they haven't been able to win any games in the playoffs, but it looked like a good start for Mike McDaniel, and you're like, all right, 2-0 was coming off a healthy year, or was it the year before, actually, he had the healthy year. But regardless.
No, this year he was coming off a healthy year, correct.
Last year was the first year he played 17 games. Mm-hmm. So that's my point. So, but then, you know, he gets rocked and everyone's freaking out and whatever. But, you know, he comes back and they're still kind of middle of the pack, you know, middle of the pack team. And that's a situation where maybe they move on from Mike McDaniel only if they know they 100% have like an upgrade. Otherwise, I think you can do worse.
Well, and missing the playoffs to me isn't the smoking gun for McDaniel. Again, they barely made the playoffs his first year. Last year, they looked like they were onto something. They fell off in the cold weather. They lost that freezing cold game against Kansas City, I think it was, in the playoffs. And again, the rules changes, I think, are really impacting that Miami offense. You can't motion before the snap the same way you could the last couple of years, where his offense looked unstoppable. It looks much more pedestrian this year, even with Tua out there, who's missed a chunk of time. The bigger loss is what you just said. Mm-hmm. If the veterans, if he's losing the locker room, because he's always been an odd duck, weird personality, if he's losing the locker room, that's what will potentially get him fired.
Yeah,
and the only reason we're going off on a big Mike McDaniel tangent is because, again, would you rather be the Patriots or the Dolphins? I think a reason to point to Miami is the coach.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They have a good system. They have a good scheme. They have good talent, blah, blah, blah. They do have good talent on offense, especially the skill players, but it feels very Tua dependent. And I think the coach is overrated.
Is it too much of a homer take?
I would rather be the Patriots.
Same.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it just because we're too positive on Drake May? Like, I don't think it's a homer take. Like, there's plenty of other teams out there. Like, yeah, you'd rather be Buffalo. Like, Buffalo right now is better. But I think just, you know, the uncertainty with really even like the Tua Mike McDaniel combination. Like, has it already hit its apex? Like, is it on its way down now?
Yeah.
I think it might be.
It's what it feels like. And again, if you think it's crazy to say you'd rather be the Patriots than the Dolphins, the Patriots already are 3-8 with Drake May. Miami's 4-6. So it's not like even in the standings this year, based on how it's playing out on the field, they were pretty competitive when they played each other earlier this year. Now, that was Brissett and that was Tyler Huntley. Let's see how it looks with Tua and Drake May. But on the field right now, it's not a big difference. And Miami feels like they're trending down. The Patriots trending up with Drake May. I'd rather be the Patriots.
So a fair question or a fair point, I think, on the text line saying it's a close call. They're still going to take Miami because they said even if you have to move on from Tua, somebody else could plug in there and probably have success. Somebody like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
not Tim Boyle or Snoop Huntley.
No,
but that's – I found that strange. Like if any team in the NFL is going to invest at least a little bit in the backup, wouldn't it be Tua?
That would be the team.
They got so caught up like, oh, see, you made it through this season. It's like, well, he's never made it through any of the seasons prior to, and he was even hurt in college. Like, you don't want to throw – like. I don't know what the Case Keenum equivalent is, but like a guy that you know or Joe Flacco. Like
that's exactly the name I was going to say.
They should have been in on
now,
Joe
Flacco.
Now
the shine has come off Flacco the last few weeks in Indy.
Yeah, but it wouldn't like if he played four games this year for Miami, they might go 3-1.
Right.
I mean, they lost to Tennessee for God's sakes, and they lost to the Colts, which was I think Flacco. So like maybe they go 3-1 in that span. Right now they're 6-4. Tua's back in. Playoffs are still on.
No, so that's odd for Miami. And again, you might think talent-wise there's a big gap, but on the field, in the standings, not a big gap.
No.
And I feel like the arrow is pointing up for the Patriots. It's pointing down in Miami. So you can jump in here. Would you rather be the Patriots or the Dolphins going forward? 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe here today. We mentioned Mike McDaniel, who we were just discussing. Very complimentary of Drake May. Dan Orlovsky up to his old tricks on Twitter as well. Very transparent. I know what he's doing. Very complimentary of Drake May. We'll get to that.
Knock it off.
And how do the Patriots get a wide receiver for Drake May? I have an idea.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI discussing Patriots and Dolphins. Who would you rather be? Moving forward, we both said Patriots. I like Tua more than most.
Yeah, but even still.
The ceiling is so much higher for Drake May.
There is no ceiling. It just goes right into the sky, right into heaven.
Thank you. Yep. The shine has come off Mike McDaniel. Uh-huh. He's 24-22, if you count playoff losses now, 2.5 years into his tenure in Miami. And they have a lot of talent.
Better record, Bill without Brady or McDaniel without Tua?
Oh, I guess I'd have to look at it. I'm going to winning percentage.
Yeah. Might still be McDaniel.
Oh, it might be Bill.
Yeah, maybe it's Bill.
It might be Bill. Right. I mean, Bill drops off a lot, but it was also a very high starting point.
True.
For Bill. It might be Bill. My real answer is I don't know, it might be Bill.
Something to dig into.
So you can weigh in on that, 617-779-7937. We're talking more Patriots today. Not all Patriots, though. We'll get into the Bruins. Some predictions for tonight. Do they respond?
Big
Joe Sacco is the coach.
Yeah.
Who are they playing again?
The Utah Yeti. That's what it should be, but it's sadly the Utah Hockey Club.
Unfortunately, it's the Utah Hockey Club. So get excited for that. We'll talk about that. We also have the Razor, Andrew Raycroft, joining us less than an hour from now. No central time confusion with him, I don't think.
No, he should be locked in. Lots to talk about this week with
the Razor. It's not Canadian Thanksgiving, right? The Canadian Thanksgiving, I think, is the same time as American Thanksgiving, I believe.
You have no idea.
So hopefully he's on time today.
That's right.
That'll be about an hour from now.
Okay.
Real quick, Dan Orlovsky tweeted out this morning. And I didn't hear Scheim read it initially, but I guess neither did Courtney, and she reread it later on in the program.
Okay.
And step right into a trap. I like Wiggy's point was, hey, the audience turns over every 15 minutes.
No doubt.
So you gotta hammer that home.
Yep.
So we're going to do that again.
Okay.
Dan Orlovsky tweeted out this morning, Drake May has been, all caps, way more precise than I expected. Well, we know that, actually.
You didn't want to play him. Didn't want to play him at all this year.
The most true thing you said. Way more than you expected.
Oh, he's better than you thought?
Yeah. Wow, weird. He's the only qualified quarterback who's been off target on less than 10% of his throws this season. This is the stat we read yesterday from Mike Reese. He had two misses on 64 throws in his last two games. Snipering. Fire emojis.
Snipering.
Snipering.
Yeah, he's been awesome. And it's also Dan Orlovsky. It's not Michael Winslow from the Police Academy.
I know that can be very confusing.
Dan Orlovsky. Think about how good Drake May's stats would be if he had guys who could catch. If Kayshon Booty could squeeze a pass or Jalen Polk could squeeze a pass, his numbers would be off the charts.
Oh.
Now, this number obviously doesn't worry about drops.
The throws are still on
how
target.
How accurate he is. I'm just saying, but his like completion percentage, which is already good, it was great last week, his yards, all that, it would be so much better if he had real receivers.
Snipering, Nick. How do you feel about that?
Is that a word? Is snipering a word?
Snipering.
It'd either be sniper or sniping.
Yeah, I think
it's not snipering.
I think Nick is right.
Sniping.
I think it's sniping. Sniping.
Is that what the kids say in like Call of Duty? We have to ask Wiggy. Do they snipering?
Is that
or are
they
sniping?
Yeah, I don't know. Seven-year-old would say it.
You think Wiggy's the one to ask on this?
Wiggy would know.
An authority on words.
That's right.
Yeah.
Words. Well,
a word expert.
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
All right. There's some snipering going on in that game. Sniping. Snipering.
Okay. Snipering.
Sniping.
But, you know, all quibbling aside.
I don't know, Nick. I'll be honest.
Are you Team Orlovsky on this one?
I'm gonna check that out.
Team Dan Orlovsky.
Bing.
First time Keith's been pro Orlovsky. Snipering. Says Dan Orlovsky.
Snipering.
Okay.
Urban Dictionary.
Yep, yeah.
Says when two people participate in an attack where they sneak up behind an unsuspecting victim.
I was very worried about where that was
going.
And
one person holds the victim's arms while the other blah, 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 blah. Oop, look out.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Oh, I can read this.
Okay.
It's
not a sex act.
No, it's not. Okay. I was like, this could really turn on us. No, snipering. This is what happens when you just read stuff for the first time out loud on the radio. Snipering. When two people participate in an attack where they sneak up behind an unsuspecting victim and one person holds the victim's arms while the other plugs the victim's nose and forces a shot of alcohol down their throat.
That's not
it. Snipering.
That's not it.
That's what it says. Well, so then, that's what Orlovsky's
talking about. Orlovsky used it incorrectly.
That's
true.
Yeah, I don't think that's what he meant.
617-779-7937. We played just Sean McVay earlier in the week. Very complimentary.
Loves him.
Of Drake May. How about Mike McDaniel? I'm not going to make anybody else do what I did yesterday and listen to 20 plus minutes of Mike McDaniel stammering and
just the highlights,
trying to crack unfunny jokes. I'm not going to subject you to 20 minutes of that. Oh, it kind of sounds like you. I'm subjected to 4 hours of it every day, Jones.
Touche.
This is what Mike McDaniel had to say yesterday about Drake May.
I saw a true quarterback who has the ability to gain the confidence of his teammates and lead and orchestrate an offense. I saw a guy that can make plays in a multitude of ways. I think, the Patriots are kind of feeling that right now, where he's, a guy that can see down the field, can play fearlessly in the pocket and make every throw with the arm strength to do it, but then also is a very good athlete that has some juice and can make plays off schedule. And I think that's been a huge bonus to their offense as of late, that had some explosive plays, whether he threw it outside the pocket or he scrambled outside the pocket. And he's a guy that you expect to continue to get better, is impressive. It's always impressive when rookie quarterbacks make plays in the NFL level, just because there's a lot coming at them. They just learned the foreign language like a handful of months ago, and are doing it in live action with guys that are trying to inflict pain on you. I think it's a credit to him and his preparation and the coaching staff as well.
It's a man who commands a room. I don't see how that guy could possibly lose his locker room.
I didn't know he was such an guy, because I've heard him before.
20 minutes of that.
Well, now I know why it's 20 minutes.
22.
Well, it's really 12 minutes, but then it's ums and ahs for 10. That the whole time. I couldn't believe that. That's
You know who couldn't believe it? Me. I couldn't believe it when I listened to it yesterday.
Like, what is he doing? Like, he's falling asleep then? Did he take a drink at one point?
How on earth could that guy lose a locker room? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, okay, but
he's also the guy. Did you watch that special on him, like, before the season started, I believe? Maybe it's just like a SportsCenter special. It wasn't like a 30 for 30 or anything, but it was like a profile piece on Mike McDaniel. He's one of these guys, and I don't know if this helps. Maybe there are people out there in the world that do this, and it does help. He's up at like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. He's got like a Mark Wahlberg schedule.
I was just going to say that. He's a Wahlberg?
Yeah, so he drives in. It's pitch black at night.
Yeah.
First guy in there. Then he's like going through all his trapper keepers.
Do you believe that's what he does? Or
maybe
did he
just the camera
do it
was
the
there that day.
Yeah.
Maybe. But like, what a reckless lifestyle. Like, I mean, get in there at like 3 a.m. It's like, why? You do need sleep at some point. Oh, sleep's overrated.
Yeah,
you need some sleep. You need some sleep. Trust me, as somebody that gets it every other night,
I know what we're really talking about right now. We're no longer talking about Mike McDaniel.
No.
I know what we're talking about.
Now, this is very close to home. This is in my home. I just want to sleep. That's all I want to do. I can't.
So in there, though, were some compliments for Drake May. He's high on Drake May. Sean McVay is high on McVay, and on May. And here's what I would say. That's 2 weeks in a row. Guys that are deemed offensive guru, quarterback guru types are giving high praise to Drake May. That's all I would say.
100%. I think everybody around the league is seeing it. You know, I know Bill Belichick might go the other way at times. And some of the people that are anti-Drake May are going to be a little bit more dug in on it. Like, that's just the nature of it. If you don't like a guy coming out of the draft, they basically need to be the MVP for you to be like, maybe I was wrong. Like, you're going to kind of stick with what your thought was, especially early in his career. But yeah, that is over-the-top high praise. And it's funny, because Sean McVay's came post-game, which I even take more stock
into.
No,
me too. It's like, we just got off the field. That guy's a stud.
Right.
Like,
you don't need to prop up your opponent.
You're not gassing up the other team. Right, right.
Right, now, Mike McDaniel's not going to say he's bad. But he also didn't just, I mean, he comically did not stop short. He continued to talk and talk and talk. But it wasn't, remember we used to always point out Bill Belichick and how there were tells when he didn't think the other quarterback was very good.
Yep.
He had these certain... it might have been Andrew Callahan. Somebody was all over it with the...
It was. Makes all the throws. It was Andrew
Callahan.
He can
make Callahan. All the throws, which is just like Zach Wilson can make all the throws.
Mm-hmm.
Does he make them well? No, but he can make them. He would say these things that sounded like compliments that really weren't. Whereas if you listen to that, I'm not asking you to listen to it again, but
please
if you
don't.
Listen to Mike McDaniel...
bonus
is this the whole press conference or just that answer?
I think
that was one answer. There were 17 instances of ums not attached to words.
I can't.
So
in a minute and 35 seconds.
You know what? I would not replace Gerard Mayo with that guy. Actually, I take that back.
But he did allude to the fact that how important it is for a quarterback to lead the team, right? Sort of a simple thing, but he's not just sticking to, you could talk about Drake May complimentary and not really even believe it. You could, the guy can run. Yeah, he ran for 95 yards in the Tennessee game. So you can be like, oh, he could beat you with his feet. He's got a good arm, and like, you know, he's a rookie. He's got a lot of potential. Yeah, he's 22. You know, he's 6'4". It's like, you could talk about like physical characteristics, but he was also getting into him just leading an offense and like getting better as he's been out there, and also how excited New England should be to have him. So yeah, you take all the ums and ahs out of there. It is good stuff.
Do you think Jalen Waddle, and this is where I really wanted to go, we got sidetracked with McDaniel sucking all the air out of the room.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle, do you think, A, he becomes available this offseason? He has 33 catches for 404 yards, one touchdown. His first 3 years, he was a 1,000-yard guy. His first year, he was a 100-catch guy before Tyreek Hill. He's making 20-ish million dollars a year going forward. Is Jalen Waddle a name we need to add to the list with T. Higgins, who's a free agent, and then some of the trade candidates? Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, Jalen Waddle, is he on that list?
So unlike T. Higgins, he does have his money. He got a massive contract, so they paid both Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And this will be one, I think, only if he kind of gets pissed about the ball getting his way, which this year he is on pace for career lows across the board.
Yeah.
Catches, touchdowns, yards, all of it. It is amazing. You know, his second year in the league, 1,300 yards. He had 8 touchdowns, and he averaged over 18 yards a catch. The guy was a big play machine. And now this year, and only part of it is the quarterback. What, did Tua miss 4 full games, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
So, like, there's been, Tua's been out there for more than half the games. And, yeah, he's been bad. But, so I think what you have to look to is he going to kind of shoot his way out of town?
4 full games is right.
And if he does, it goes back to the thing, does Miami want to trade him in the division? They should just get the best thing for him, but it might be, if Waddle's truly available, there'll be a few teams calling, and they might just ship him to the NFC.
That might be the bigger hurdle. Yep. 617-779-7937. How do they get a wide receiver for Drake May? Could Waddle be on that list with Deebo and T. Higgins and DK Metcalf, and there's more? Would you rather have him go that route or draft a wide receiver for Drake May? That's something that we've discussed, along with all the high compliments. Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel, and of course Dan Orlovsky, mm-hmm. now very complimentary mm-hmm. of Drake May as well. 617-779-7937. Who would you rather be, the Patriots or the Dolphins? And let's get into the game plan last week for the Patriots, their defense, Christian Gonzalez against the Rams. Gerard Mayo gave an explanation yesterday. Are we buying it? We'll get to that next.
You know, it's a fair point. What I would say, like, in the man, I went back and looked at that as well. So in the man-to-man snaps, Christian was on one of those top two guys the majority of the time. And now in zone, like, I mean, it really doesn't matter. No, I shouldn't say it doesn't matter where he is, but in those man-to-man snaps, he was, for the most part, where we wanted him to be.
What an answer from Gerard Mayo yesterday. When you really parse that out, that's it's interesting. And it's Jones and Keith here on WEEI. He was asked about the game plan against the Rams, which we asked Christian Gonzalez about this on Monday when we weren't asking him man-to-man
To man
questions, Keith.
It's coming back on Monday by popular demand.
Yes,
by the
way. Yes. 3 men, 10 questions, mm-hmm. nothing to do with sports. His answer about the game plan, though, was, look, I do what the coaches asked me to do.
Yeah.
But that's what you say when you don't want to say more and get yourself in trouble. But of course he wants to be on Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Of course he does. He's a top flight NFL corner.
As a Patriots fan, I would have liked him to be on one of those guys as well.
So that answer from Gerard May, I love it on so many levels. He goes, he cuts off Mike Reese in the middle of his question, number one, which is,
I will say this,
which is a tell.
Yeah.
He goes, it's fair point.
Yeah.
What I would say.
Of course. What I would say. Just say it.
Yeah. Just get to it. I went back and looked at it. So number one.
Oh, you did?
I feel like as the head coach of the New England Patriots, you should have had a pretty good grasp on that. You're not like, let me go back and look at that one. Mm. You know, like there's something to be said, like I got to watch the tape.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to see this play or that play. A player's usage and their matchup, I feel like that's one you shouldn't need to rewatch.
Especially when you're getting pants.
Yeah.
The two best receivers on the other team who Matt Stafford throws to all the time are being thrown to all the time and are being very productive. What can we do to stop that? Oh, I don't know. We have one really good corner. What is he doing on those plays?
So, a couple of things. Number one, I am fine with a coach. A lot of times I think it's deflecting, but I'll allow for, hey, we just got off the field. I got to watch the tape on that one when you're asking about a specific play.
Post-game.
Sunday after
the
a game.
The second after the game. Yeah.
He spoke on Monday and was asked about it. And now on Wednesday.
Nah, he had a chance to
look at it. He's like, I went back and looked at it. And again, what I wouldn't allow for is the match. Like, you should have a good feeling on who was on which player, when, and their usage and that game plan style stuff, you should have a good grasp on. He had to go back and watch it, is at least what he claims. He says in man-to-man snaps, so how much were they in man-to-man versus zone, I don't know. Christian was on one of those two guys a majority of the time.
I think people have come out and said that's not true.
Okay.
The all 22 people.
Let's even say it's true.
I don't think it is.
Okay, let's say it is. Let's say he's right. And the all 22 people, they don't know. Pro Football Focus,
true.
You don't know.
It's possible.
Okay, let's say Mayo's right a majority of the time. What does that mean?
No, I think
more than half. That doesn't mean he was on them all the time.
Yeah.
That means he was on them slightly more than just
so
saying a majority of the time.
So even
doesn't
that,
mean all the time. But, it means a little more than half.
That's up for debate apparently because I either read or heard somewhere that it wasn't. Let's say it was 16 times, right? They were in man to man or whatever on pass plays.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was 9, give or take. Might be 9 on this side, might be 9 on that side. But either way, it's not good enough. Like, so who else is he on? Who else is Gonzalez?
DeMarcus Robinson. Like Doug Kyd had a tweet in the middle of the game. It was DeMarcus Robinson.
You shut him down.
He didn't do anything.
DeMarcus Robinson was quiet.
Another win for Christian Gonzalez.
Terrible. Yeah, that one makes no sense. And two, this is Jerod Mayo's alleged expertise. He is a defensive player, defensive coach. So this isn't, you know, you're getting smoked and yet you're, you know, something offensively, right? You would still be annoyed because he is the head coach. He is the buck stops here or whatever he always says. But you'd be like, all right, that's more of a question probably for Van Pelt. When the defense is getting torched by the best players, because that is one thing you could say most of the Belichick run, is if a team had an obvious go-to guy, that guy probably wasn't going to have a great game, right? Or maybe if they have two, you at least take one of them out.
Make you play left-handed.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, I always go back to those Texans games where the Texans would have a decent regular season, they'd play the Patriots, J.J. Watt would be quiet, and DeAndre Hopkins wouldn't do anything. And then they were like, all right, everybody else, go ahead. Everybody else can beat you. Oh, you can't. And then that's how the game would go. Meanwhile, it's like, I bet they throw to Puka Nacua Cooper Kupp. And then they throw to Puka Nacua Cooper Kupp. And they just torch you that
and
way.
And you never adjust. And the justification was, well, when we were a man-to-man, he was on those guys a majority of the time. Mm-hmm. He also said this. In zone, it doesn't really matter.
Okay, what, where he is?
Where he's lined up doesn't really matter. That's good to know.
Okay.
He says, now I shouldn't say it doesn't matter.
Oh, God.
But man-to-man, for the most part, that's where we wanted him to be on those two guys. So just that is not a satisfactory answer.
No.
And does that sound like a guy who's in command, to your point, Keith?
It does not.
Of his side of the ball. He's a defensive guy. And by Wednesday, he's like, oh, I went and looked at that because I was curious about it myself. It's like, you should be hands-on about that.
That was real interesting.
You should have real intimate knowledge of that, and you don't. And so that's part of the big problem with Jerod Mayo.
The defense has gotten worse each of the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they had the really good defense in 21, which is part of the reason why that Mac Jones team made the playoffs. But then they took a step back in 22, another step back in 23, and now this defense even worse than it was than last year.
Covington tomorrow, right? Part of our coordinator series?
All right.
Good timing.
Yeah,
I think Van Pelt was good timing last week. I think this is good timing for Covington.
Yeah, this will be good.
So we'll do that tomorrow. You can listen live on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. 37937. Guys, I want Higgins and Godwin at all costs. Godwin is an interesting name. He's coming off an injury, but he'll be a free agent.
Will he be ready to go start of the season?
I don't know. It was a fractured ankle. It was a pretty gruesome one. But it's a fractured ankle, so my sense is yes. It wasn't an ACL, it wasn't an Achilles, but that's just a guess. I don't know that. Let's see. I want the Patriots to bring in a proven guy like Higgins or whichever top free agents are available and draft a wide receiver like Travis Hunter, who, by the way, he's not necessarily a receiver. He might be a corner who moonlights at wide receiver. Teteroa McMillan, Luther Burden, another highly sought-after receiver. You said this the other day, Keith. I agree 100%. I want the trade or free agent wide receiver before I want the drafted wide receiver.
Yeah, I know most of the draft busts were Belichick, but even this past year, Jalen Polk and Javon Baker are not trending in the right direction. Nope. So I'd rather just take my chances with an established guy, throw the money at, make a big trade with that, and then you can focus on offensive line or pass rush or whatever in the draft.
Yeah, I like some of those receivers in the draft. I don't trust the Patriots.
They'll take the wrong one.
Don't trust them at all. Yep. So, Higgins, Godwin, those are your free agents. Debo, DK, those are trade candidates. Maybe a guy you'll face this Sunday, Jalen Waddle, who's basically out of the game plan in Miami. 617-779-7937. We asked how they get their wide receiver. We talked about the defensive game plan. We also asked you, who would you rather be, the Patriots or the Dolphins? They face off this Sunday in Miami. More of your phone calls coming up. And What do you expect out of the Bruins tonight under new head coach Joe Sacco? Do they respond? We'll get to it next.